This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Oh, a good show today. We've got a good one. I feel like a fisherman, and I've got two on the line, two rock cod. Bringing them up from the depths of the ocean, Mike Brewer and Ant Anstead from Wheeler Dealers. Fantastic. How you doing, boys?
We're great, Alan. Yeah, great. Always a pleasure.
Are you in a car right now or something?
No, Alan. We're in. We're like Hollywood superstars. We're in our green room, which actually consists of a very old secondhand sofa and a very warm cup of milk. That is about it.
Nice. All right, here, I'm going to read some crap. Hold on. The Ultimate Recyclers return to find, fix, and flip everyday rides in the new episodes of Wheeler Dealers. Season premiere available now on the Motor Trend app and Velocity, beginning earlier this week on Wednesday, October 3rd at 10 p.m. Guys, well, welcome back to TV viewing land again. Now no more reruns. We got new episodes, right?
Yeah, new episodes. We're crushing it at the moment. We're trying to make as many episodes as we possibly can. We did a run of 16 last season with Ant, the two of us together. And now Velocity Channel have just ordered a huge run of 27 shows. So we're deep in the midst of filming those 27 shows and fixing these cars up.
You know what? You're doing something right, Mike. And maybe, you know, I don't know. Ant, let me ask you, what's it like working with Mike Brewer and having to put up with his mushugas, as my dad would say?
I mean, let's be honest, I'm slightly younger. So I grew up watching Wheeler Dealers. And so I grew up as a younger man watching Mike on telly. And now I get to work with him. He is, I know, right? He is absolutely the guy you see on TV. Genuine through and through. This guy's a car guy. Lives and breathes this sector, loves what he's doing, and he's really, really good at it. And I'm only saying that because I'm sat right next to him.
Right, exactly. I was hoping you'd, like, you know, kick him in the goo-goo berries or something. You know, it's anyway, no, you guys are friends. It's fun.
Yeah, I mean, feel free to ask me the question again.
Yeah, right? You know, it's funny, Mike, he just said that he's a younger man. He grew up watching you. Does that make you feel old now, huh?
It does make me feel old. You know, when you're standing there and you meet somebody in the street and they say, a young man or somebody almost my age might come up to me in the street and say, my granddad loves your show. He's always watching your show. And it does make me feel old. But, you know, we've been on screen now for 16 seasons. It's the longest running car restoration show in the world. It's the creator of car restoration shows. And I can look back fondly at those 16 years and think, God, you know, we're still doing it. We're still crushing it today. We've got this amazing audience that's growing and following us. And, you know, we've expanded the show for more episodes. I feel genuinely at the moment with the run that we're doing currently with Ant, and this is the truth, I feel like we're at the beginning of making Wheeler Dealers again. It's really exciting to be here making the show again.
There's nothing wrong with reinventing yourself, and that blonde wig you've been wearing looks great on you, by
exactly.
The way.
Exactly. Yes, I know. I do that at night time. It's because I don't get paid enough by Velocity, so I've donned the wig, get myself down that truck stop. It works.
Oh, that's too funny. So I'm going to take a break in a minute. Give me, like, one of the cars that you have found lately, because you find them, he fixes them, and you flip them. Give me one that was to you special, or one that's going to be special people should watch.
Well, there's one that's coming up that's really special because it encapsulates both me and Ant, and it's a amazing Volvo 850 T5R. There's a really good reason for putting that car in the show. Ant is an ex-policeman, and that would have been his armed response vehicle when he was in the UK. And for me, the 850 T5R, which was turned into a racing car in Europe, is one of the most iconic Volvo station wagons the world has ever seen.
That is too funny. And, you know, little known facts, Ant Anstead was a cop, a police, I mean, what do they call him? A bobby.
A bobby, yes, I was. I left the police service in 2005. But, yeah, and I drove. I was on the armed response unit, and I drove the same Volvo as
a TFU firearms car.
That is so awesome. All right, hang tight. Take a two-minute break. Come back. Talk more with Mike Brewer and Anstead from Wheeler Dealers. We'll be right back. It is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, special guest today from Wheeler Dealers, we have Mike Brewer and Ant Anstead. Season premiere now available, just came out October 3rd. You can watch it on the Motor Trend app. You can download the app and watch 24/7. And also on Velocity Channel. It's 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific. All right, guys. Let me go back to I asked Ant what it was like working with Mike Brewer. For those that didn't know, Ant Anstead was a police officer. So, I mean, are you afraid he's going to get you in a headlock or anything if you give him a hard time, Mike?
He's done that constantly. He puts me in headlock. He puts my arm up my back. He's got some pressure points. He can squeeze on the body and disarm me very, very quickly. And he's very good at doing it. It's quite scary.
But, that's awesome.
No, he's a big, muscly, handsome brute. So I just let my body go floppy these days.
Well, first
don't
of all,
it. Don't fight it.
Yeah, exactly. Don't fight. It was great having you guys on. You were on the Craftsman stage at SEMA. SEMA's coming up the end of this month for all of us in the auto industry and for those lucky enough to attend. Hope to get to see you guys again. I think we're working with Velocity to get you back on the stage. But the question is, you know, you guys have been around for a long time, and the Wheeler Dealers has for sure. What's the difference between the British audience and the American audience for you?
Yeah, it's really interesting. The British audience really feels still today that they own this show. This is their show. It started in England. It's obviously owned by an American production company, but it started in England. And since it moved to America in 2013-14, the British audience feel like they've lost it. They feel like they've lost the show. But they've really stayed with it. You know, they've stayed with it. They've got very excited over the eclectic mix of different cars that we feature from all over the world. But they get quite personal about it because they really do feel some kind of relationship with the show, and they feel like it's fled their country. As opposed to the American audience. The American audience are so enthusiastic about everything that we do on the show. They absolutely get behind it. They love the changes. Whatever changes we make, they embrace it, and they look forward to what we're doing every week. And there is a difference between the two audiences. But, you know, me and Ant, we're very passionate about making the best car show we possibly can for car fans all over the world. And we have audiences in Germany, France, Japan, Holland, Belgium, South America. The audiences are all over the world. We have over 200 million of them. So we create a global car show. But it's really weird, the different behavior that we understand, you know, from the different audiences, particularly the differences between the UK and the US.
Yeah. What I like about it, first of all, is that, and Ant said it, you know, I've known you now for a number of years, and you're exactly the same on the air as you are, you know, walking around the streets. Ant, I'm
incredibly annoying.
Yeah. I was getting ready to say, what else can I say? But, you know, you hit the nail on the head. But, and I'm getting to know Ant better. And obviously, just like that, he'll throw in a comment. But I also like what you guys are doing. I mean, I'm looking at the list of cars that you're going to be fixing up and selling on the show. A 78 Mercury Capri, a 91 Toyota MR2 Turbo, the Volvo 850 T5R, a 91 Alfa Romeo 164L, a Lotus Elan M100, a 2002 Corvette C5 Z06, 83 Volkswagen Rabbit GTI, and a 2004 Dodge Ram SRT10. What a crazy mix of vehicles, from Corvettes to trucks to Capris to Alfa Romeos. I mean, that's what's good about it, is you don't just do the same, you know, Mustangs and Camaros and things like that all the time. And you actually are mixing it up and making it a global show. Good on you.
Yeah, there's too many other shows out there, Alan, doing the Mustangs and the Camaros. And we don't need to go down that rabbit hole, me and Ant. We are very passionate about our car choice. We spend a lot of time, me and Ant. It is rather strange that I think we're the only two car hosts on global television that when we're not making this car show, at the weekend, guess what me and Ant do? We go and hang out at a car show. And we walk around looking at cars, talking about cars, thinking about cars. We spend an awful lot of time together, and 9 times out of 10, the conversation is about what should we do next? What's the next car?
Yep.
And we're always trying to keep the flavor as an eclectic mix as possible. But we also want the car to be individual, and it's got to mean something. You know, it has to, every one of those cars that you just listed off means something to somebody
right.
somewhere, whether
yep.
it's a post, it's a childhood dream, it's yep. It's something that they remember their parents having, or it's a poster on their bedroom wall, and that's what we always inspire to do.
All right, well, if you need a good American that is 5 foot fat, lots of hair, and very little knowledge on cars, but loves them a whole lot, that's me. We could have a threesome there, brother. You let me know, okay?
I thought you were describing Richard Rawlings then when you said 5 foot fat,
three. Oh, geez. All right, here it is. It's Wheeler Dealers. It is on Wednesdays, 10 p.m. Mike Brewer and Anstead, thank you guys so much. Great job. See you at SEMA, guys.
Thank you very much, Alan. We look forward to seeing you again. Let's hope we don't get photobombed by Bill Goldberg again.
I know, right? Ah, listen, that's what's fun about the show. Talk to you guys soon.
See you later. Thanks, Alan.
We'll be right back.
Thanks, Alan. Take care.
Okay, guys. Be right back. My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman Mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
There's only one guy I know that can follow Mike Brewer and do it with style and class and whatever else I can throw at him. It's Stephen Cole Smith. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. I will earn what you're paying me for this, I promise.
Be careful now. So first of all, I'm reading what my producer gave me. They give me very little, as you know. You were off-roading, and I'm pretty sure this is wrong, so I'll say it. You were off-roading with a new Chevrolet Silverado in New York. What did you do? Drive right. over people and pedestrians and go up on the sidewalk?
No, we actually started out in New York and managed to get out of New York to go to Monticello, which is a private driving club that serves that area. That's a beautiful road course. They had a Mazda MX-5 Cup race going on. But they also have a whole bunch of acreage of off-road trails. So Chevrolet wanted to show a few of us. It wasn't a very big trip, mostly people who vote on the North American Car of the Year, because the Chevy Silverado is up for that. It's that, the GMC, and the new Dodge Ram.
Okay.
They wanted to show us what it could do off-road because, you know, the Silverado is a big honking, you know, four-door truck that with a lot of weight and a lot of mass, and you don't think it's going to be very nimble off-road, but they had some really technical, complicated off-roading sections. It wasn't just like sloshing through the mud, although we did that too. And I'll tell you, that thing, I was impressed. I was impressed that that had the agility and the nimbleness to do what we did with it. It was impressive to do, but it was more impressive, as you know, having done some of these off-road programs, to watch the truck in front of you.
Right.
And see how, you know, the frame articulates. There's, you know, the left rear wheel and the right front wheel are off the ground completely, and
right.
the other two wheels are, you know, the locking differential's kicking in, and you're just going. So it was a lot of fun. The truck, you know, it's a great truck to drive down and back. but more fun to get out there and just kind of beat it up on the trails. Skid plates underneath, thank goodness. Otherwise, we would probably have left oil pans and, and rear axles out there. But it was a lot of fun. And
that's
the truck
cool.
really acquitted itself well. I didn't hurt myself. It didn't hurt anybody else. And they were able to drive it off when I got through with it. So that's a win in my book.
Well, you're following the guys from Wheeler Dealers, and you were four-wheeler dealering. You also drove Ford's. What is it? You went to Ford's racing facility? This is something, not trucks, though, right?
No, it wasn't trucks. I went to Ford's racing facility in Charlotte right before the NASCAR race this weekend just to look at some of the technologies. They had all the Ford race cars, including a rally car, that they had flown over from Europe just to put in the wind tunnel and then fly it back. You know, you don't think of a rally car with all those huge wings and everything worrying too much about aero, but it needs downforce, and they've hardly ever put them in a wind tunnel, so they were doing that. But the biggest thing, Alan, they have two full-size driving simulators. And, I mean, this is, it's in a room that's probably 30 by 30. You've got a cockpit, and you can change it from, like, a NASCAR car to a Ford GT for road racing. They can do that in about half an hour, plug it in. You know, you've got a wall of huge screens around you, and it's full motion. I mean, if you accelerate, you feel it. If you brake, the seat belts tighten up.
Awesome.
You go left and right. And we were, you know, they had the Roval, you know, in Charlotte for NASCAR this past weekend. They've never done that. Charlotte's a mile-and-a-half road oval track. But they tried something new. They had the cars go down into the infield through part of the road course and then back on the track. And it was fantastic. I heard it on the radio because I was down in Austin at the Circuit of America's finale. But on the way to the airport, I was listening to it, and it was a great race. I had to go home and find the clips from it. You know, Jimmy Johnson was second to Martin Truex on the last lap, and Jimmy hasn't won in, like 55 races. And he went for it and spun both of them out, and Ryan Blaney won. And Jimmy Johnson, had he just cruised around in second, would have made the next round of the chase. But he didn't.
Oh,
he went for a win, and, man, I got a lot of respect for that guy. He wanted to win.
Right.
So, anyway, to make a long story even longer, that track was on the simulator, and we were watching David Reagan drive it. And, man, that was a rough, hard we saw David Reagan just wipe the car out on the simulator by himself, you know, in one of those turns. So it was amazing to watch. And Reagan or anybody driving that simulator can say, you know, I need another 20 pounds in the front springs. I need another pound of air in the tires. They can do that on the simulator.
Wow.
They can simulate what that would be like. If he has a full tank of gas, the car drives different than when the gas starts running.
But did you get to drive it?
I absolutely did get to drive. Not the Roval, but they put us on a different course.
Yeah.
And, this friend of mine from Canada, Brian, hops in, and, man, he's just tearing it up. It looks great. He looks like a professional driver, and he has done a lot of racing. So I hop in, and Alan, it was humiliating. Not only did I just not get a feel for it, I started to get queasy.
Oh, no.
You know, my inner ear, because I've been flying so much, the balance is a little bit off. And they said, before you throw up, just tell us and we'll stop it. Well, you have 10 minutes, and I was about 3 minutes in, and I was making no progress.
Right.
And I said, it's time for me to get out. And it was embarrassing. I mean, years ago I did a ride in an F-4 fighter jet. We went from Texas up to Oklahoma. And, man, talk about a dream come true. I was in a jet. And I was throwing up from the time that we started. We were not off the ground before I threw up. And I threw up all the way back to Texas. So
I am so glad you talked about vomit on my show.
It wasn't that bad, but it was still, you know, it was still something I thought was going to be a lot of fun.
You know, you brought it.
My body let me down.
You brought it, brother. Thank you. We'll take a break. Come back with more Stephen Cole Smith.
Sugar and spice. Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
You can spend this fall hauling bags of leaves to the curb or hauling. Hurry in to your local Dodge dealership for great deals on Dodge Charger with 292 horsepower and 30 MPG highway. Dodge Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class. And Dodge Durango. This fall, get great deals at your local Dodge dealership. EPA estimated MPG. Actual results may vary based on Ward's Middle Specialty segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And my vomitous friend, Stephen Cole Smith, automotive journalist, racing reporter. Let's see here. AutomobileMag.com for Automobile Magazine. Who else are you working for? Any particular biggies on this one?
Auto Week and Grassroots Motorsports Magazine. Those are the three main people that hire me for reasons I don't understand, but I'm very grateful.
We all know why. I was laughing all the way through the commercial break. You also talked about Autocross, the rally cross.
Yeah, the rally cross.
In Austin.
Yeah, if you remember last year, and probably for the last 5 or 6 years, we've had the Red Bull Global Rallycross Series, you know, where they take a stadium, they'll do it in the middle of Daytona. You know, they build a track that's maybe a mile and a half long. It's part pavement, it's part dirt. They go over jumps. That series basically went out of business. There was a lot of unpaid bills, a lot of lawsuits. So it looked like we were going to lose Rallycross, but the company IMG that owns everything, I mean, they own the professional bull riders, they own Miss Universe, they own all kinds of stuff. They own the Rallycross series in Europe, where it's huge. I went over there for the first one. They had like 65,000-70,000 people. They said that was one of the smaller events.
Wow.
So they decided over Christmas that they're going to try to save Rallycross in the U.S. So they put together a quick schedule of four races. The first one was in England, which was a weird place to debut something called America's Rallycross. But it went over well. The second one, I think, was down at Circuit of the Americas. It was the Rallycross guys by themselves, not very well attended. Next race up at Trois-Rivières in Canada, a lot of people there. And then they had a finale at Circuit of the Americas, the Formula One track, this past weekend. And, of course, that's a track, you know, where it's the only one that hosts a Formula One event in the U.S. right now. And they built a rallycross track in the middle of it, which they did basically for the X Games 4 or 5 years ago. So they're used to it. And the rallycross guys from Europe came over. I mean, those are the big names, which you probably wouldn't know, but they're still big names, like Sebastian Loeb. Those guys are famous over there. And they had both those guys on the bill, and they also had a concert with Ludacris and DJ Jazzy Jeff that night, which I think kind of helped the crowd. But the problem was, right after they announced that, Willie Nelson announced a free concert in Austin for Beto O'Rourke, the candidate that's running against Ted Cruz, and he bought a bunch of friends. So, you know, you're sitting there thinking, am I going to stick around for Ludacris? Am I going to go see Willie Nelson? Or am I going to sit in a hotel room and order room service? So I just turned 65, so you can guess which one I did. but at least I got to watch Saturday Night Live, which I thought was pretty funny, with Matt Damon playing as Kavanaugh. But I look back and I think, yeah, I should have gone to those concerts. But, man, I was really comfortable in the Westin in downtown Austin. But the racing was great. Scott Speed, the former Formula One racer and NASCAR racer, won his fourth straight title in rallycross in one of the Andretti Volkswagen Beetles. Tanner Faust, a guy that you know from television.
Top Gear and everything else, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Tanner's a great driver. He and Scott basically just club baby seals all year in that series. Ken Block was there. He ran well.
I was at Ken Block's place just day before yesterday.
And I saw that. Yeah. Ken was there and ran very well in one of the Ford Focuses that he and Steve Arpin have. So he must have made a quick trip from Texas back to, where was it, Colorado?
No, Utah. Well, the Hoonigan shop in Utah, in Salt Lake City, up kind of near Park City. Awesome, okay. Beautiful shop. I mean, to tell you what. And I got a couple of pictures in there. And I was wondering why it was kind of, you know, vacant. There weren't too many cars in there, and the reason why.
Oh, yeah, they must have been trailering him back. But yeah. I'll tell you, Ken is a big star. He's got a reputation as being kind of gruff. But, man, I've seen him several times stand there and sign autographs for hours and hours. He did the same thing in Texas. So, you know, he's a genuine star. Even though Scott Speed is running Formula One, he's a big star, too. A lot of guys from Europe are big stars. But Ken Block was the guy with the longest line for autographs. So tip of the hat to him for driving. got a two-car Ford Focus team that Ford is not really ready to back completely. They're giving them some help out the back door, you know, with parts and technology and that sort of thing. But I'm not really sure what's going to happen next year. They're trying to put a schedule of five or six races together, one of them up in your area in Seattle, somewhere up there, around the Dirtfish Rallycross school, which would be great, and probably starting the season again in Montreal during the winter, because they've got a place in Trois-Rivières that is covered, and they're going to bring in some ice and race rallycross in when it's freezing outside. Inside, it'll be a little bit warmer, but the rallycross guys may be racing on ice, and that's enough of a reason for me to go to Canada in the middle of winter if they do that. That's going to be a great way to kick off the season.
Yeah, nice. Well, I rallycross is fun. I think with the waning audience of NASCAR and open wheel racing, maybe the younger audience kind of is leaning into this a little more because they can all see themselves possibly being a driver of that ilk someday. It's not as intense.
Yeah, and they're using recognizable cars like the Beetle, like the Subaru WRX, like the Focus. Cars that people in the younger demographic can recognize and actually buy. And the last time we were at Circuit of the Americas, I got a ride with Travis Pastrana, who was racing with Subaru. So that's a guy who, he's one of my absolute favorite people. He had just done that Evel Knievel jump show, and he's still just as modest and humble and as much fun to be around as he was when he was a kid. So I'm really hoping rallycross is going to can make a comeback in the U.S. because it is a lot of fun to watch.
Hey, and I agree with you on that. Just a question: any news, anything going on in the NASCAR after France got that DUI? Has there been any fallout from that? I just haven't talked to you about that in a while.
No, he pled not guilty. We haven't heard anything else from him. And they promoted a guy named Steve Phelps to where he's now president of NASCAR, which probably Phelps is a good guy. Might not have been my choice. But I think we've seen the last of Brian France. He doesn't own any of NASCAR. He really had been pretty hands-off the last year or so. I don't think he's going to be hurting for money, so I don't think he's going to make a comeback at the level we've seen before. It's a shame for NASCAR because, there's no secret that the ratings are down, although, as I mentioned, they were up for the Roval race at Charlotte because it was kind of a novelty. But, they're going to Dover this weekend. Dover's not a real big race on the schedule, so hopefully they'll be able to ride out the season the way they're going now.
Right on. All right, give me a couple more minutes on the other side. I know you went to Italy and went to Brembo. We've got SEMA coming up at the end of the month, the big Specialty Equipment Market Association trade show. That's what SEMA stands for. It is the biggest aftermarket car trade show in the world, I think. Stephen Cole Smith, everybody, automobilemag.com, Grassroots Racer, and Auto Week. We're going to be right back with more of The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor all across America, and our show is brought to you in part by Subaru. Love it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Also, thanks to our friends at Dodge, domestic, not domesticated. Stephen Cole Smith is with us. I think I asked, I didn't ask you, but I wanted to ask you about the chase, NASCAR. We kind of blew past that. Is there any last thoughts?
They start out with 12 drivers. They eliminated four. At Charlotte, that'll be Alex Bowman, Clint Boyer, Joey Logano, and Eric Almirola. The guy still in the chase. One of these guys will be the champion. Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Brad Keselowski, Kyle Larson, barely made it, but he did, Kurt Busch, Chase Elliott, and Ryan Blaney. One of those guys is going to be the champion when we get to Homestead at the end of the year in November. four or more will be eliminated. Four will go to Homestead with a shot. And basically, whoever does the best at Homestead is a champion, which is the way they do it. I kind of got a problem with that. It doesn't really reflect what they do for all, 36 races. But that's the way it is. And, you know, I guess it's more exciting.
Well, you know, sadly, I hope they're listening to the audience as it dwindles down, then maybe that's not the right way to do it. Because I don't know a lot of people that really like the way they're doing it, you know?
Yeah, if you're old school like I am, you might have some problems with it. But I've learned with my 65th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday to you.
Just when he started getting calls from Social Security, you know, we were over the hill. So nothing I say is relevant anymore. I've been a demographic where anything I tell you is just suspect because I'm 65 years old. So, you know, anything I say, just take it with a grain of salt because I'm sitting in a rocking chair with a cat in my lap. I figure that's, you know, they'll find me here within the next week or month or 10 years, and that'll be the end. So
you actually are sitting there with a cat in your lap.
I did that when I was 64, too, and it felt better. But right. Now it's like, this is just pathetic.
Oh, poor guy. I'm right behind you, man. Anyway, all right.
You still got a ways to go.
You went to Italy and you went to Brembo, I know, and I don't know how much you can share about what you saw there because it is quite top secret. But matter of fact, whatever you say behind you is going to be the president CEO because I'm going to ring him up and see if you tell the truth. Now, he's a friend of mine.
Brembo, you know, we were talking off the air. When you walk up to a car, like say a Corvette or something real fancy, you know, what brand on that car will make you pay a little bit more? And I'm thinking Brembo brakes, Recaro seats, used to be Bose stereo, but there's so many good stereos now, maybe Michelin tires, but, you know, Brembo, you see those Brembo through the, you know, they even make wheels now where you can see the brakes.
Right.
Because, A, the calipers are colored, and B, because they've got a brand name on them, and that brand is almost always Brembo. So I was really interested to see how they make it. I mean, this is a company that's grown gradually. Of course, 2008, they had a big dip. They bought AP Brakes, which is a good brake company, mostly for competition. Then you look at the graph, and it's sort of like my blood pressure. It just goes up a little bit every year to the point where, it's really doing well. But that's not like my blood pressure, but it kind of looks that way. But it's just good gradual growth. You know, they're building a foundry in Michigan, and I'm sure Den will talk about that. How many people are building foundries now?
Right.
I mean, that's I guess that's just something that Trump should be proud of, that we're actually building a foundry. But going through the performance and the racing brake facilities in Italy, pretty amazing. I mean, those carbon brakes, they start out with a piece of cloth that you can hold in your hand, and they turn into a brake after a long, long process and a very expensive process. But, you know, you figure practically everything in Formula One. Martin Truex Jr. was using Brembos when he won the NASCAR championship last year. An amazing company. Yeah. And, Brembo is just kind of stands for quality. People think that of brakes, and I can see why, because watching them being put together, pretty darn impressive.
You know,
and
my,
the meals in Italy, Carolyn took us to a meal in Bergamo that night, so I barely remember anything about the plant that day. I just remember the pasta.
That's awesome. My Viper ACR, which is, you know, just a beast of a machine, specking it out, they wanted to know if I wanted to have carbon ceramic Brembo brakes.
Wow.
And I'm like, yeah, why not? And they go, well, it's $10,000. And I go, what'd you say there? It's like $10,000. And I go, $10,000? I go, does it come with brakes at all? And they go, yeah, but that's the upgrade to carbon ceramic. You have to understand you're driving basically a street-legal race car with the Viper ACR. This was 2016. That vehicle went on to break 13 racetrack records, and it's unheard of. But I want to tell you, when you step on the brakes on this car, if you don't have your seatbelt on, you're going to go through the windshield. It is unbelievable. So
I miss that car so much, Alan. I miss that Viper.
Well, you can come drive mine anytime you want. I told you.
I'll be on the plane because I think all the cars have been discontinued in the last 10 years. The Viper is the one I miss the most because that was the crudest piece of, you know what, when it started out, and I still loved it, and they got it better and better and better. And by the time you got yours, man, it's It is a race car you can drive on the street.
Yeah, no question about it.
This is the golden year, the golden age of automotive stuff. Not everybody's driving Priuses.
No doubt, no doubt. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to the president CEO of Brembo. He's my friend and, of course, Stephen Cole Smith's friend as well. He's a good guy, honest man, and funnier than hell. Stephen Cole Smith, you're the best. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Anytime, Alan. Always a pleasure, man.
You can find him at automobilemag.com. Also, you can check him out at Auto Week. You'll find his scribblings all over the place if you read it and you laugh.
And I have the cover story on Automobile Magazine on the racks that's just now out.
Look at that. Damn. He's got the big paycheck coming. All right. We'll be right back with more. It's The Drive. Thanks, Steve.
There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning, stylish, sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT, fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely.
Listening to The Drive, I'm Alan Taylor. Our show is brought to you in part by Bridgestone. They're passionate about making tires you can count on to perform when it matters most. Tires, brakes, Brembo brakes. We were talking about Brembo brakes.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, well, and there he is. I called him up, the president, CEO of Brembo Brakes North America, Dan Sandberg. You know what, Dan? Stephen Cole Smith is like he was singing your praises, but he didn't really give me that much information. Is it like embargoed information or something?
He was sworn to secrecy, but at least he told you that he saw it.
Yeah. Well, that was it. I came, I saw, I left.
Yes.
And but he was, I will tell you, even after in the commercial break before I rung you up, he was like, you know what? He goes, who doesn't love Brembo? He goes, it's just the best stuff in the world. I'm like, I know. You don't have to tell me. I know these
guys.
We're
glad to hear that.
Yeah, he did. Know? He was very complimentary. And look, Steve used to be a cop. He knows. It ain't good to lie. You go to jail for lying. Anyway, so what can you share with us that he could not? You got something new coming out at the trade show coming up, SEMA. And can you share a little bit?
Well, obviously, you know, we make brakes. And our goal is to try to, you know, obviously get our brakes into the corners of as many people as possible
right.
of the vehicles. And we have a new brake system. As you know, we've sold kits for a long, long time that can be added onto cars. Of course, everybody knows Brembo these days because you can get your Brembo brakes on the cars that you purchase day to day.
Right. By the way, I want to tell you one thing he said because you didn't hear it.
Yeah.
He said, and for those who didn't catch the last segment, he said there's one thing that makes the value of a vehicle go up is when it has Brembo brakes on it. And I thought, isn't that interesting? Because you automatically go, oh, it's got Brembo brakes. And that was a big thing to say. He said that on the air.
Well, you know, things go very fast these days.
Yep,
and I think people are starting to realize when they go fast, they have to stop fast.
That's
so
right. Yep.
That's where we help out. So at SEMA, we're going to be talking about a new brake kit. And a new caliper, specially made caliper that will be able to fit on, I can't even say that. My PR people are going, no, they're pointing down, no. So
most
I guess what I do
wrong.
Is tell your people to stay tuned
okay.
for your SEMA shows
okay.
that you're doing. And it's going to be really exciting, though. It's going
right.
to be I'll tell you, it's a reasonably priced caliper that will enable people I can't talk about, lots of them, to be able to. No, I can't say that either. Well, okay.
Well, you know what?
Anyway.
Here's what you're going to have to do. Once you can tell the world about it, of course, I'll tell them. We need to remind them and stuff because the reality is that people go in and they just say, oh, you know, whatever breaks. But it isn't really whatever breaks. It's like if you really care about your family members and you want to get the best brakes you can get, Brembo is it, period. And now you're making it, I think, from what you're saying, more accessible to the everyday, workaday Joe cars, you might say.
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Well, that's good. All right. All right. Let me ask you something before we go because, I know I only give you like 5 minutes here. But electric cars, everybody. I mean, it's like, man, everybody's coming out with the electric car. What's that going to do to you guys? Brakes are still brakes, but you know, I mean, how involved do you guys get with that at Brembo?
We're getting very involved. So just about every electric car that you see on the market now, we're probably talking to them because, you know, those cars, number one, are heavy because they got batteries in them.
Right.
You know, everybody knows how heavy that is. But the torque that you get off the line with those cars is tremendous. It's almost continuous torque. You know, no turbo lag, no, you know, it. You hit the pedal, boom, you're out of the gate. And, of course, if you're out of the gate fast, you got to be able to stop fast, too. So,
yeah.
And those cars got to be light. And we have the lightest brake systems in the world. Hmm. So we're in the right place, right time.
Did he also said you're building a foundry in North America now?
Oh, we have two foundries in North America, Alan.
Well, I thought it was all Italian stuff.
No. So we're making calipers here in North America.
Yeah.
We built the first two iron foundries in I don't know how long. I mean, all you've seen in the iron industry is, and the foundry industry is consolidation, which means closures.
Right.
We've added 800 jobs here in North America.
Awesome.
From our new plants and the new foundries that we've built. So it's a big investment, over $250 we built them. They're very cheap. We built a $200 million investment in foundries here, and we're making our discs for North America here. One of them actually only an hour from my headquarters, one of those foundries, in Homer, Michigan, believe it or not.
Nice. Well, how far is that from you?
It's about an hour.
Yeah. Well, it's easier than flying to Italy, isn't it?
yeah, but, you know, Italy's got its advantages.
I know it does. Somebody asked me the other day, where would you go right now if you go anywhere? I would go to Italy. There's just so much going on over there. So, I mean, a culture and awesome cars and design and food and beautiful people, beautiful scenery. Dan Sandberg, thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Brembo brakes, they are the best. The choice of champions. That's what they always say. I'm Alan Taylor. There's another hour right after this. It is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.